All right, let's get started. This morning's scripture, as indicated in the bulletin, is Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, which can be found in your pew Bible on page 54. During this time, I'd also like to read the account of the Ten Commandments pertaining to this commandment from Deuteronomy, as well as read a scripture from Ephesians. So we can all turn to page 54 to Exodus 20, read that, and then I will have the other two scriptures on the screen for us to follow along. So let us give our reverent attention to the reading of God's holy word. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." And now Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you." And lastly, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3 says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." May God bless the reading of God's holy word. And now let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for an opportunity to join together to dive into your word, to dive into the Ten Commandments, particularly this fifth one, Lord. Open our hearts, open our ears, and open our minds to what you would have to say. And may the meditations of my mind and the meditations of my heart be glorifying to you always. For all these things in your name, amen. So it's great to be back up here only 3 weeks after my last sermon as we continue making our way through the Ten Commandments, God's top ten for how we can better have a relationship with Him and with others. I am sure that there are some of you that saw that I'm preaching on the fifth commandment and thought, of all of the Sundays, this is the one my child is going to sit through. Or my child had better listen up. It's the kind of stuff parents dream of. It doesn't get much better than the Bible talking about honoring and obedience to parents. If this is you, parents, I just want to point out, don't get too comfortable. Because the Hebrew word for honor used here in Exodus 20 is also the same word as hardened in referencing to the hardening of Pharaoh's heart in Exodus chapters 8 to 10. So it also can mean heavy, weighty, grievous, and to bring glory. So I had to ask the question to my wife. I'm not sure if perhaps Pharaoh's heart was actually honored or maybe we harden our parents that it may go well with us. So now, for many of you, I have mentioned in previous sermons on the Ten Commandments that they're split into two sections. And for the first four that we just wrapped up, it instructs us on how to relate to God. And the last six instruct us on how we relate to others. The first commandment in the second section deals with how we relate to our parents. Reverend Graham Smith made this observation. He said, quote, "I think it is natural that the first relationship that God established or that God deals with is our relationship with our parents. Because God established the home and the family, and the family is the basic structure of civilized society. It is our first relationship, and it is our primary source for influence. It is the primary influence in our lives." End quote. Is it not interesting that the home, the family, is under such dire attack in today's society? Perhaps what should be pointed out is how the family is becoming less and less of an influence on our lives. Not even 40 years ago, I'm told this because I wasn't around back then, that for children, their primary influence was the home. Their home was their family. Second was school, then peers, and then the church. And this wasn't such a problem because at home and at school was just reinforcing what was being taught at church. So is this a mere coincidence? Let it also be noticed that this is a command also brings a promise, which would denote that to do the opposite would bring judgment. Perhaps what we are seeing today is a result of a lack of honoring our parents. And my word of caution would be that it does not end and start with the current generation of students, but starts with the parents of the children today, and perhaps their parents even. The command to honor your mother and your father, as we heard and read, is stated multiple times throughout Scripture. Two tellings of the Ten Commandments in Exodus and Deuteronomy, and then Paul's mention of it in Ephesians. Jesus himself also mentions the commandment when the Pharisees questioned Jesus as to why his disciples did not wash their hands before eating, therefore defiling themselves by eating with unclean hands and breaking the law. Jesus rebukes the Pharisees and points out their hypocrisy using honoring your mother and father as an example. Jesus points out how easy it can be to give honor with your lips, yet have dishonor in your heart. The Pharisees claimed to follow the law and perhaps did with their actions, but not in their hearts. We can honor our parents with our words, yet still harbor dishonor against them in our hearts. We can honor our parents with our words, yet still harbor dishonor against them in our hearts. Paul mentions the command when giving instructions for Christian households. The verse that precedes the one we read in Ephesians says, children are to obey their parents. Often I find myself using obey and honor as synonyms. Pastor Robert Morris, pastor of Gateway Church in Dallas, who I've also referenced many times, says the difference between obey and honor is this, that while you are in your parents' house, while you are still living there, you obey. And after that, you honor. And there might be the terrifying realization for some that this commandment continues even after you turn 18. Honoring your parents is lifelong, not just a commandment for young children. I mentioned that there is a promise for honoring your parents, that there must be a consequence for not honoring your parents. And actually, throughout Scripture, there are references of God's judgment on people who dishonored their parents. Exodus 21:15 says, anyone who attacks their father or mother is to be put to death. Exodus 21:17 says, anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. Proverbs 20:20 says, if someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Even in the New Testament, we see people who are considered to be disobedient to their parents equated to being drunkards and liars, blasphemers. Romans chapter 1, verse 30 has a list of all of these the things that these sinful people do. And it ends with people disobedient to parents. 2 Timothy 3:2 does the exact same thing, lists sins that people at the end times will be committing, and it ends with people disobedient to parents. Honoring and obeying your parents is a big deal to God. This is his top 10, and he chose to make it the first one of how we relate with each other. So this now begs the question of how do we honor our parents? This first gets tough to answer when you think of everyone who grows up in a house of abuse and neglect. Make no mistake, Jesus himself takes child abuse, neglect, all of the harm that can be done to a child, particularly by parents, very seriously. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, it says, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned into the depths of the sea. And if it's better to have that done, I don't want to see the other side of that equation. There are countless people who suffer at the hands of their parents, and that is not right. God detests the harm that is done to children. Harm that's done to children also on behalf of their parents. God takes notice of when that happens. He doesn't turn a blind eye or ignore the pain. And so nowhere in the Bible does it say to honor your father and your mother's actions. We do not honor their weakness, their imperfections. We do not honor their actions, but the Bible is very clear that we honor them. Honoring them takes forgiveness, it takes humility, and it takes faith. Ron Mail, author of the book Tender Commandments, says, "We honor, therefore forgive our parents, that we may not be weighed down or taken captive by bitterness." And then I had the aha moment. That's where we get that translation of honor to being weighty, hardened, to be weighty and to be heavy. That we want to forgive our parents, that way we may not be weighed down or taken captive by bitterness. How many of us in here this morning did not agree with a decision made by our parents? Don't actually raise your hand. I'm just assuming everybody. Disagreements, often meaning that we thought we could do better, or at least know better than our parents, can easily lead to bitterness and resentment towards our parents. Forgiveness is key to not being weighed down by bitterness. Living a bitter life is not an example of that it may go well with you. The bitter life is not it going well with you. Here is an example from my life of bitterness that I held against my parents for the better part of a decade. This may seem a little bit awkward because my parents are sitting right over here, but they are familiar, and I did warn them that I was sharing this story. I feel guilt and shame that they are very familiar with the story, but know that I hung it over their heads for a very long time. I'd like to think that I no longer do that. So, it was a few weeks before one of my birthdays. It was before the age of 10. We were still living in Tartan Village, possibly 8 or 9, and a very large box had arrived. Eager with anticipation, thinking it was for me, I began hounding my parents to know what was inside and therefore ruining the surprise for my birthday. Well, persistence paid off, and my mother was worn down, and she finally exclaimed, "It's a camping cot." Now, if you don't know my parents, they love camping. We would go camping multiple times a year growing up. So while this made sense that there would be a camping cot in that box, it also happened to say L.L. Bean on the side of, in huge letters. You can imagine the slight disappointment for a probably 8-year-old at the idea of getting a camping cot for his birthday. Well, the day finally came, and Dad says, "It's time to open up the box," and I mustered all of the enthusiasm I could and began opening. I come to find out that there was no camping cot in that box. It was, in fact, my very own, brand new, not my sister's, not pink spray-painted black bicycle. The kind of bike that 8-year-olds' dreams are made of. However, over all the excitement, the only thing I could think about was, my mom lied to me. I'm sure there are many instances when my parents have lied to me, but I caught them in that lie. For probably more than a decade, I would remind my mom of the time that she lied to me. After a while, it kind of even became the family joke. Around birthdays, when packages would arrive, remember, this is before Amazon is what it is, and people get packages almost daily, but back then it was a big deal for a package to arrive, and the joke was whenever someone would ask what it was, the reply would be, "It's a camping cot." Even for a box this big, it's a camping cot. Living a life of resenting or being bitter towards your parents is not the promised land. It is not what Jesus meant by going well with you. Robert Morris says that the promised land, a lot of people equate with the promised land as being heaven. And he strongly disagrees and says the promised land is living life here on earth in the full blessings of God. And living a life of bitterness is not living life here on earth in the full blessings of God. Forgiveness, as I have come to forgive my mother for that one unforgettable lie, forgiveness is at the root of honoring your parents. Because every parent is in need of forgiveness. Even the ones we think are amazing, they're still human. They're still in need of forgiveness. I, as a parent, am in need of forgiveness from my children. There is not a parent ever that is or was that is not in need of forgiveness. And forgiveness needs humility. See, the person who forgives is often on the short end of the stick. There often is no justice in forgiveness. Forgiveness should come whether or not a person apologizes. And when there is hurt, pain, and brokenness as the result of a parent, forgiveness is a hard subject to talk about. Part of the problem is the lifetime of struggles and lifelong impact that it can take on a child to a parent who may not even realize what he or she's doing. We've got to be the bigger man, as they say, and let it go. Forgiveness requires humbling ourselves to be obedient to God. Honoring our parents also takes faith. Honoring our parents means accepting that God has orchestrated the events that these people would be your parents. And this spans biological and adopted parents alike. If you are adopted, God orchestrated the events that would allow you to be from the biological parents who birthed you to your adopted parents, and it is these people that God has put over you to be your parents. And it takes faith to accept that. It takes faith to accept the authorities that God has put in your life. And part of honoring is accepting authority. It takes faith to accept that God would have a hand in who our parents are. Particularly if the parents are abusive or neglectful, that God would use you, would use your situation to go with you through that you may be used in a unique way to possibly minister to others who have suffered similar experiences, and through all of it, you may find God and have a relationship with the Heavenly Father who loves you, who cares for you, who sacrifices for you, wants a relationship with you. He desires for you to come to Him. He is not standoffish. He does not ignore you. He isn't too busy for you. He doesn't have bigger priorities. You are His biggest priority as a child of God. Honoring our parents takes forgiveness, takes humility, and it takes faith. And there is a promise that goes along with that, that it may go well with you. And it's not too far of the imagination to think the opposite. What happens when we are dishonoring our parents? What is the judgment that is coming upon us? The Ten Commandments are how we can have a better relationship with God, and how we can have a better relationship with Jesus and each other. And we can have a better relationship with each other by honoring our parents, the first relationship that we have. Our parents are the first people that we meet. And I'm going to repeat what Robert Morris said about "Let me show you grace" in the Ten Commandments. That these Ten Commandments, even when there are promises, even when there are consequences, the Ten Commandments were given to the Israelites after they left Egypt. So as hard as it can be to honor our parents, and I failed at honoring my parents, and my kids will fail at honoring me, despite all of that, there is grace. Because God didn't say, fix yourself, get your lives right, and then I'll deliver you. He delivered us and says, now have a better relationship with me and have a better relationship with everyone else. My mother said, how are you going to preach on this commandment, honor your father and mother? Just do it. My challenge is, whether you are 3 years old, 40 years old, 80 years old, honor your father and mother. Forgive them. Approach them with humility and have faith that you will use your circumstances with your parents to reach out and find a loving father whose love is better than anything you have ever seen before. So no matter what, we have a heavenly father who loves us and who sacrifices for us and wants a relationship with us. Amen.